You tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
On tomorrow's show, we are going to spend more time talking about the Bulls. Cody Weston will be on the show. We will break down their game against San Antonio and then start talking about some of the big picture items. My hope is that we'll have a clearer understanding of what Zach LaVine is going through when Billy Donovan talks to the assembled media in a couple of hours. But, it seems like they can't catch a break, like, all season. But, yeah, they still have a winning record, find themselves outside of the play-in scenario. All of that stuff is good. It's just kind of like, kicked right in the gut over the last few days when it comes to the Bulls. Parkins and Spiegel are in the house. They are here to talk to you about Valentine's Day and the Super Bowl. Hello, men.
Hello, Lawrence. Spiegs. Six straight NFL playoff games decided by 3 points.
How great is that?
And the one before those six, a seven-point game. We didn't have a double-digit game since Wild Card Weekend. What a great league.
It's a good way to go out.
I miss it already.
It's done.
They always send out, at some point, 345 Park Avenue, we'll send out how close all of the games all season were, where they're like, look, all of our games were within one possession. And it's usually around like 48-49% or so. That is how the games end. But this playoffs, they couldn't have scripted it better. Like, here's all the playoffs that we have. Oh, Tom Brady lost. Not only did he lose, he's also retiring.
Yeah.
So there's that bombshell in the middle of it. And then the rest of the games are incredibly good.
How about scripting it without referee involvement in the negative as it came to pass here at the end? It's like this season, which had so much terrible refereeing in high-profile moments, for it to all of a sudden rear its head in the last couple minutes, that sucked.
Hey, Speaks, you remember taunting?
Yeah.
I do remember taunting.
Yeah.
Has Vernon Hargraves been cut yet, by the way?
Oh, my God.
Did they call that taunting? Originally, they called it taunting, but then they said it was,
are you doing?
Non-uniform personnel. I was like, who is that ball boy? He's going to be fired immediately.
Yeah. And
then it turned out to be a player. Who's that fan that ran onto the field, like the other fan that ran onto the field?
I thought it was like, one of those dudes who, holds the cable for the defensive coordinator.
The get-back coach?
Yes, exactly. But no, it's Vernon Hargraves.
It was unfortunate. Like the T. Higgins, Jalen Ramsey play was massive, and then there were no flags for the majority of the game, and then they come out a couple at the end. I didn't feel like the outcome of that game was shifted by the officials, though.
I agree.
Well, but hold on, because there's a couple things that helped the Rams there at the end that extended it. And first of all, there's the defensive holding on Logan Wilson, but on that play, there's the false start of the entire offensive line that they missed.
Yep.
So that's two on the same play that kind of bail them out and extend things on a third down play. And then the next play, when it was offsetting, that should not have been a penalty on Von Bell for trying to hit Cooper Kupp and knock that ball out in the end zone. So that was the one that was offsetting. I thought that call was absolutely bogus. So they got bonus first downs twice in that way, because the offsetting gave a new first down.
Well, I mean, the Bengals got a 75-yard touchdown.
They did get that.
I guess when you, yes, the Rams benefited from the calls late when there is no time to overcome them, but I thought that when you get gifted a 75-yard touchdown early in the game, and that's just a massive scoring play, it's tough for me to say that the refs decided the outcome of the game.
You're right. I don't think they decided it, especially because Cincinnati then had the ball.
It was just jarring to see them basically not call any penalties all game, and then for them to be heavily involved in the last 2 minutes of the game.
That was
the jarring.
It's like
part.
They got a taste of the spotlight, and they were like, oh, yeah, that's right. We can be involved here.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like.
Well, it was such good flow, of the game.
Yes.
Like, as you're sitting there watching and you're going, oh, look at that. It's 8:30. Huh. 3 hours, and this has been super enjoyable.
Yeah. It had a lovely flow. I liked them not being something that I thought about.
But I also thought that the coaches most likely were instructing their players, hey, they're not calling anything. Be extra grabby. You know, and so then the okay, we're going to let it go in the normal course of a game.
Yeah.
But then when you're blatant and bear hugging and tugging on jerseys and stuff like that, we can't not call it at all. So
when Donald shoved Joe Burrow out and that was a legal hit, and then the offensive lineman went after Donald.
Yeah.
And there was no call on any of that with everybody slapping each other in the face and going back and forth. It's like, oh, okay, they're really going to let that go. I kind of liked that that was a no call, though.
Well,
me
right.
too.
That's the thing. That's the other reason why I don't want to come down too hard on the officiating today, because like overall, that was a pretty – it felt like a good game in terms of the refs were not involved. It was weird to see them at the very end, but if I could sign up for every NFL game to be officiated that way in terms of how little overall they were involved, how little mic time they got, as long as there are humans that are going to make some errors there, like – maybe it's a sad state of affairs with where we are for officiating, but like I'd take that game like as my baseline NFL officiated game.
If you knew that there were going to be like three game-changing calls?
There weren't that many penalties.
No, there weren't.
You know, like for the most part, they were not involved in the game. And again, I'm not saying that it was a perfect game, and I'm not saying that there weren't significantly game-altering calls by the officials.
Danny isn't saying, hey, let's grade these guys out with 100 and have them ref every single game. But it wasn't intrusive.
Right, and so many times it had been, and I'd rather take a game where, for the most part, the flags stayed in the pocket than 15 penalties over the course of the game and a lot of judgment that way.
It was so annoying to see them rear their heads and show up and matter like that in the final couple minutes after it not being the way. But man, the whole day was kind of delightful in terms of product, I thought. Like I was engaged for the last about 75, 90 minutes of pregame. Some good stuff in there as I cooked and prepped around the house, and then the game was solid. The commercials were there. Was lots of funny commercials.
I thought it was the best commercial year in a long time.
What made you say that? Because I kind of felt similarly, Danny, but I found myself going, all of the commercials reached like a certain baseline. None of them were like crazy good to me, but I was like, all of these commercial breaks have been fun. You know, it usually you get like, oh, there was one amazing commercial and then the rest stunk. This felt like every commercial break was kind of solid.
Yeah, you know, maybe this is weird, but like I kind of feel like I'm entering the demo of like who they're targeting. Like there were things that were referential to things that were super impactful in my childhood and adolescence, right? Like The Sopranos, Austin Powers.
That was a great commercial.
And so like they're referencing things that were nostalgic for my generation, and my generation is kind of entering the time where we actually have a little bit of discretionary income.
Welcome, my friend. So
bring your money.
Yeah, you know, it was weird. Like, because normally I don't feel, like obviously Doritos or beer or whatever, like I've been in that demo for a while, but it was like, maybe eventually I will buy an electric car.
Oh, dude.
You know, like it was weird to feel like they were kind of targeting me.
How about that's I think that's exactly what happened. I think it was a big game for that. Because the other thing is, I'm sure there's a lot of people who heard about that halftime show and they're like, all right. And finally, none of these old-time rock and rollers.
The halftime show that I knew the most songs.
Yeah, that's right.
Not even close.
And you're thinking, like, that's right, none of this Tom Petty, Bruce Springsteen
none of
for
these
you.
Old guys.
None of these old guys. And then this is full-on nostalgia
total
hip-hop.
Old guys.
Thorough old guy, like, they got you.
Yeah.
They tricked you into feeling like you are the cool younger people when they're actually playing to your nostalgia.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Dr. Dre is what, 56?
Yeah, none of
Eminem's
those songs.
50?
What was that? The earliest song was what, 2001 from that stuff?
Oh, but it was great.
They didn't go, you didn't have 90s, you didn't have the Chronic in there. Like they had, I believe it was 2001 was the earliest stuff.
It was so good. But yeah, I think, so that was why I think it resonated that way for me. Be like, start to finish, I felt like I got all the references. Like, and even the crypto stuff, which I know drove a lot of people crazy. It was like, well, I've been talking to people about crypto for like 6 years and dabbled in it for a couple of years.
I'm sorry. I'm still in no. I don't care. How many products, how many varieties of crypto you throw at me, how clever your commercials are, I don't care. I'm still in no.
I understand that, but there's a little bit of a gap between you and me in terms of age, right? And so, like, yeah, it was that part of the Super Bowl viewing experience.
Did he just call you old? I feel like that's what just happened.
Well, every day, Lawrence.
That's the show. Yeah.
Every day, some form or fashion, man.
I am out of touch with references that he gets and vice versa.
And that's why it works.
That's exactly. Right. But, mm-hmm. But yeah, so
you have any Just for Men that you can spare, Keith Hernandez?
It was just...
Your beard is weird.
Thank you, Clyde.
Did you enjoy it? Like, I did not watch nearly as much pregame as you did. I watched basically no pregame. But like from kickoff to final whistle, I thought it was a great product.
What does Shane think of Mickey Guyton?
You know, Shane came in today, and we have no guests on the show, and he didn't watch the Super Bowl.
Oh.
So...
That sounds great.
You know...
I only know her like this past week, like getting to listen to a little bit of her music and figuring out her place like in country music. And I know that Shane's kind of our country music correspondent. So I didn't know what he thought of Mickey Guyton kind of going in. I thought she did a really good job with the anthem.
I did not know her name until it popped up this past week as, hey, that's your anthem singer. And but I thought she sounded great, and she milked the ending.
She did.
Oh, that over's coming in, yeah. But apparently it was like 18 seconds over.
Yeah, Joe had been talking about the over because, you know, he's tapped into these sorts of things, and I texted him. I said, oh, Mickey at the end went back to her roots, went back to the gospel roots and got that over, and he was excited about hitting that over.
I thought it was a beautiful voice. Who did God Bless America? That was also a beautiful voice. At the beginning.
Was it a Janae Aoko?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I thought there was a lot of good.
There was also the misidentification of those two that happened.
Was she there? Misidentification? I didn't see her. I'm a big fan.
Yes, Misidentification Elliot. She she did the halftime show a couple years ago.
Okay.
And then people rediscovered her music. They were like, who's this new act that's out there?
I still miss the Three Stooges, your 1967 halftime show.
Is that right?
That is correct.
Get out of here.
That was one of our categories last week. First ever halftime show was the Three Stooges, man. Come on, that's for less.
Didn't Up With People do one of the halftime
Three
shows?
Three times. As well?
Did they? No way.
Three times. They're like, yep. Let's have that again.
Let's have some more of that. Let's bring it back.
And again. Let's do it again. But now you've got this. So, I mean, yeah, I was pretty great yesterday.
I enjoyed the experience of it, and I wanted to – I started following Mickey Guyton on Instagram probably last Tuesday or so because I was curious, like, what her experience is going to be like and running up and what were some of her influences in how she was going to do the anthem. But I thought that it came across as beautiful. Like her arrangement, her voice, very powerful. The halftime show I enjoyed. I wasn't over the top with it. I think a lot of us felt very protective of it. Like, oh, this is it's the greatest thing ever. I'm like, it was fine. I thought that Kendrick was actually the best part of it. The choreography, song choice, even though he ended up getting bleeped on some of the most important parts of his song. But I still thought that it was great. And the homage that they did to L.A.
Yes.
Was incredible.
See, I thought the production values, I thought that stage was badass. That set design was so cool. People climbing up and climbing over and standing on the top and the way they had it with all the cars.
And crip walking.
Yeah. And then the carpet was a view of LA from overhead. So when they shot you the overhead, it looked so damn cool. And I thought it all held together because Dre produced all of that.
Right, which leads me to this. You are our in-house musician, Speaks.
Yo.
Was Dre running the board? Because they had a board out there for him, and at times before he played the few bars of I Ain't Mad At You by Tupac, which made us all go, Tupac's back from Cuba!
That would have been so awesome.
Well, yeah.
That would have been a big story.
Hologram?
News story.
Hologram or
actual real guy.
Oh, yeah.
I'm still holding out hope.
It would have been if he was going to come back, that would have been the moment to come back.
Throw in Jim Morrison for the older folks.
Bring
as well.
Him in too.
Let's go ahead.
It would have been a weirder time for him to come back, though.
I don't know. It's LA.
Yeah. Have Dre play Light My Fire on the piano.
So was he running the board? No, I doubt it. But he was in charge of all that stuff. Like his guy was running the real board. Maybe he was miming some board running going on up there. But he produced all those tracks, including 50, right?
Yes.
And I believe the Mary track is one of the few that he produced of her career. So it had to be like they very carefully chose. Like I thought the whole thing was a very well articulated vision, which fits Dre.
It was a really good concert. I thought Kendrick was he was to me the star of it. I would have preferred that Mary didn't bring the room down. Mary does that. Like that's her gig, but I feel like all right, we got the first song, the hateration and the holleration, and we're all here in this dancery. But then we got kind of sad Mary, yeah. Which is what we all love, which is why we buy the records, which is why she's won
her gig.
A boatload of Grammys. But I was like, we need Mary dance. Like, we need the Mary J. Blige dance. But I appreciated her, and I loved her falling out of the end of it. And I actually thought the my favorite Mary moment was her commercial. Where she's like, hey, I went and got my mammogram. Y'all need to go get y'all mammogram. Go do that. I'm Mary J. Blige.
She was all over the Super Bowl. It was, I thought the whole thing was awesome. Like,
did you see the Halle Berry intro?
To the whole Super Bowl. Yeah, the good hype at the front. They did. It was movie business stuff, and it was strong.
Yeah, Halle Berry, and then she had a Caesars commercial too. So I wasn't sure which one you were referencing.
Oh, that's right. She's Cleopatra.
She's Cleopatra.
Oh, I forgot the commercial that I didn't write down. The dolls, the NFL commercial with all the little figures, the NFL figures all doing their thing, and everybody involved playing the game in the house. Did you see that one?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh my God, was that great? And who scored the touchdown? Walter.
Of course. He got
his
touchdown.
They wanted to run it with Peyton, and Peyton was like, really? Not you, Peyton. The Peyton that Peyton runs Peyton. The ball.
Yes, and Walter scores at the end, which was beautiful. And
Because
he was the best.
No. Why is that important?
Because he didn't get one in the Super Bowl.
Sunday.
He finally got his.
You're
that's
right.
Where were you when you heard the big news, Wally?
Don't call me Wally.
Oh, boy. And oh yeah, by the way, there was a pretty damn good game.
Oh man. All-timer. We broke Lawrence.
We just play that one so often that I don't have that kind of reaction anymore. But that's really good.
That was genuine
belly laugh.
Yeah, it's just
that's
it's great. Perfect timing.
Yeah,
too.
Of course.
We're talking about Peyton, and there he is on the score, chastising a host for trying to be all familiar.
It was for what was the honor? What was he congratulating him for?
Hall of Fame, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah,
it's a big one.
And you got to remember, it was actually one of my first jobs. Speaks, you probably did it too. We used to have the Walter Payton show here.
After Ditka, right?
Yeah. He would come on and his theme song, he loved the song Lowrider. And that was his theme song whenever he would come on.
That's incredible.
He was amazing. Like he and you would hear all the stories about how strong his hands were. And Walter used to be, he would give you the grip when he'd meet you. But then he'd like grab your thigh too. Like, yes, this was whenever we would do the Walter Payton show, this is what he wanted to come out to every week.
So cool. I forgot that was the song, man.
I always associate this with Gone in 60 Seconds, but the Walter Payton show on the score is better.
Was this the theme for the George Lopez show for a couple years too?
I think you're right, Lawrence.
What a run this song had.
Yeah, that's pretty great, man. Yeah. Cash them checks.
Yeah.
War deserves all of that. Every bit of that they deserve.
Was Conti in War? Or was he, what band was he in? The Balco guy.
Chris Conti?
No, not him.
Victor Conti. Victor Conti was part of like the San Francisco funk scene, and I believe his brother was in the Tower of Power.
Okay.
So he wasn't himself.
I thought he was in Tower of Power, but you're right. Yeah. I think it was his brother.
It's either his brother or his cousin. So he was part of that whole scene and then discovered the magic of performance-enhancing drugs, which is a different world to inhabit.
Get you paid.
Yeah. Yeah, no question about it. So we're hanging out today, Lords. Our plan is basically just talk about the Super Bowl. We'll do a little Bulls at some point, talk about it with the audience, and just hang out. Because all-time wide receiver season, all-time defensive player career, two fascinating quarterback angles, commercials, halftime show, Spiegs' experience as a degenerate, our pick segment revisited. We have a lot to get into over the course of 4 hours today.
Danny, remind me for tomorrow's transition.
Yeah.
For us to talk about all of the goings on from a media standpoint. I mean, all that stuff like yesterday.
I'm always down to talk media with you. You know that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't want to forget to do this because I want to kind of get your opinion on this. Like, it's going to be complete turnover and chaos. When it comes to Sunday night football, Thursday night football, Monday night football.
Well, yeah, we can do it tomorrow, you're right, but and a new player, a new check writer has entered the chat with unlimited money.
And there they were on display during commercial breaks last night with that logo, which is unimpressive, frankly.
Yeah.
Do you agree?
Well, it's like the letters are chopped off on the side. I'm like, I don't understand.
It's weird. You can't pay for a better logo than that.
Gotta do better.
You can do better. All right, so yes, let's put that on the docket for us to discuss tomorrow.
Sounds good, Lawrence. Have a good day.
All right, boys.